because he was the fulfillment. He said, all the law and the prophets is fulfilled in one saying, love thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. So everything in the black book is now fulfilled. Just like a contract that you've made on your house. You don't need that contract once the house has become yours. You've actually acquired it or purchased it. And so it is now purchased. The truth is purchased. It is written in tablets, not of stone, but written in the innermost parts. Because the lawgiver has come, and he has put his statutes in your mind, and his spirit in your inward parts. I just observed, and I wondered, why would anyone want to come into an atmosphere and be critical? No one ever makes you come, you see. No one urges you to come. These doors are open to you. It's a hall of democracy. But why would anyone want to come unless they want to receive something? You cannot receive anything by being cynical. Cynics die always. They never find truth. Skeptics never get anything in the extra dimension. Skeptics can learn things in an empirical sense through science, but you can never learn the spiritual matters because they're only revealed to children. You must become as a little child or you will not enter into these more aesthetic realms. The ecstasy of the spiritual things that we see, the glory of healings, cannot be revealed to the cynical, doubting mind. Or it can be revealed to a person that has an honest question. But when one comes in with hostile cynicism, you've already made up your mind. You're like so many. I have made up my mind. Don't confuse me with the facts. The facts are that we have had, by standards, they mentioned the Seventh-day Adventists, that they have less cancer than the populace. In general, something like half. Well, how would this hit you? We've had about one that I know that has had cancer that is not yet healed. One out of thousands. That would be something less than 0.1%. We've got a better record than the Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventists have a good record because they don't drink coffee and they don't drink tea, they don't eat meat, and they take the whole wheat. But you don't even eat like you should. And still you've had these blessings. If you ate like you should, you would never die. Yes, you would. That's the truth. Because we're living in the age when science is going to conquer death. And certainly this metaphysical mastery here will conquer death if you will allow it. So I shall not say more about that, but it does confuse me why you would want to come. I know of no one, as our sister Davis said, I know no one who has come that has not suffered for coming with even an indifferent heart. She was speaking of Kathleen Ellis, who had the thousands of dollars in her room and didn't think she could become a part of people's temple, though advised. She thought she'd do little things for the preacher, like bring him food, which I never would eat. Never come to service, but she'd give me a little food, and she thought I'd eat it. I wouldn't eat it. I just used it to help others because her food was good. But she thought she'd done God a service by bringing the pastor some food. Don't you know he never is bought off? You can't buy God. You can't buy God. It's not possible. You make a fool of yourself when you think that you can bribe his prophets or cause them to compromise themselves. The messenger of God, infinite principle, cannot be bought, and it will not be bought. Some continue to try it. They'll come up with a little gift, and I just pass it from my hand to someone else's. I told you I receive no gifts because we are admonished by all the proverbs of the great world faiths not to receive any kind of gift. not to bridle your soul, not to hinder your spirit by receiving gifts or tips or any of that sort of thing. So I will not receive them. But you keep on trying to do it. Well, you say, I go to a church where the pastor gets an anniversary. Well, I can't help it because you are going to a deceiver. That's your problem. I can't help it because you are deluded. No true minister of Zion, no true minister of the truth would receive gifts. He would not receive anniversary offerings. He would not receive birthday presents. No true minister of the truth would allow that to be, because some could afford to give him gifts and some couldn't, and it's not fair. And I don't think the preacher should get gifts any more than the doorkeeper. After all, we're all doing what we're supposed to do. So I don't receive anniversaries. I will not receive Christmas gifts or birthdays, nor will my wife receive any pastor's wife's tea. But some of you go to those places and you say, I wonder why you don't heal me. You come here every 6 weeks. Then you go back to slop for 5 weeks. No wonder, double-minded man and woman is unstable in all their ways. You've got your foot in one place and your foot in another, and you're divided. You can't possibly know anything aright. You've got to give your whole heart, mind, and soul, strength to God, principle, as you know God to be. But here you are, sitting here Sunday today. Some will even come in now, just wait a little bit, and they'll come slip it in after the service is over. And some of you will slip out in a little bit to go to a song fest or an anniversary, and you wonder why Jim Jones doesn't heal you. Because your mind couldn't get healed. Your mind has to be centered on the fundamental. When your minds and your attention and your love and devotion is placed on the highest source of God manifesting in your life, then I tell you, you will get results. You will have resurrection and the life. You will have life and life more abundantly if you give yourself wholly unto God. I will not say more about it. I think I've said enough to get across the message. For just a few minutes, at least I guarantee I'll take one question. Is there anyone here that wants to ask a question other than about healing? I do not want to receive any question about your personal healing, because that would be a respect to persons, and respect to persons is sin. I would have to then allow every one of the over 1,000 people that are here ask a personal question about their healing. So I cannot allow you to do that. Yes, sir, you wanted to ask a question in the balcony, I believe. Yes? Oh, no, you don't have to join our family to come. No, it's not necessary at all. The only thing is that you'll just be better off by doing so.
Let it take time to understand what you're trying to do. And
why, of course you have to take time to understand it.
So a lot of people come here and they listen at you like I do. I'm not coming here to make fun or anything like that. I'm coming here to try to understand.
That's the important thing, not to criticize.
That's right. So it's, I know some people maybe feel like I feel when you look at hit below the belt. It's not that I come here to look up on this. I came here to understand.
You say get hit below the belt?
Yeah, you know what I mean by that. What I'm trying to say is some people feel like, well, you're talking directly to them. I mean,
and they shouldn't unless they're guilty.
Well, I am not guilty.
I say, well, then people shouldn't feel, they shouldn't feel that.
Well, that'd be
because I make my, you know, I'm one of those straight hitters. I make myself so utterly clear that if you are guilty, you know it, and if you're not, you do also. All I'm talking to people who come in and make light or criticize anything that's going on or criticize any people they see. That is a deathly spirit, and it destroys them. They're privileged to do that, whoever they might be, are privileged to do that. But no, there's no demand that you join this church.
Well, that's what I want to know, because everybody's supposed to do their own thing. got to be good, not bad.
Well, I don't know that I concur with that statement, but I defend your right to that statement. The own thing, I would qualify that own thing a little bit. We must do the right thing. But feel free to study us. That's perfectly all right. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I just, as I said with Kathleen Ellis, young woman, now all that money stocked away in her house, in four banks, as Reverend Davis said. She didn't feel like she needed us. And she died a young woman. A very young woman two weeks ago. No need of her dying. One more need of her dying than electricity failing in the universe or the sun going out. She didn't have to die, but she was a critical person. She was divisive in her mind, and she was, most important, she was very, very selfish. Anybody that has thousands of dollars, when you come into an atmosphere like this where there's a children's home with 40 acres and every child is taken in, where you have four senior citizen homes, two convalescent centers, catfish pond that's kept in stock so that people will be prepared for the day of famine so that none of you will go hungry, or anyone who wants our help won't go hungry. Four college dormitories with 109 students getting an education, two of them being sent away to university abroad to be specialized doctors so they can come back and give this family and those that love truth free medicine. Now, I'm just naming some of the things, not to mention the swimming pool, not to mention the community center, or the animal shelter, or the grapes, the beautiful fruit, the gardens and the mustard greens that grow even without us cultivating. And anyone that would come seeing a preacher who doesn't have rings or watches, but use robes, use shoes, never bought a pair of new shoes in his life, doesn't own a car, and has given the people 13, I think, or 14 buses. I haven't a real count of them, but several Greyhound buses out there, air-conditioned, heated, kept up to the nicest way they can. They're mechanically kept up with the best of mechanics, where most preachers go on vacations. I take you on each vacation. Last year we went all through Washington. Just a month ago we went through Washington. The Washington Post said we were the greatest group that ever come because of the way we helped people and picked up rubbish and pollution, ecology, help that we gave. Every place I go, you go. Now, when one would have thousands of dollars and come in here and not share it with a man who's adopted eight children legally and taken in 200 that were starving to death and saved them from starvation, what kind of people could keep a hold of thousands of dollars in their bedroom? They're doomed to die. They're doomed for trouble because a generous heart touches God. God loves a cheerful heart. But when you're not generous, or whatever measure you meet, it's measured back to you. Yes. You started to say something, someone started to say. Julia.
She left over $20,000 to a rich white woman in Alaska.
Isn't that nice? That rich white woman wouldn't even give her the time of day. So she left $20,000. She was a black woman, and she left $20,000 to a rich white woman. Never got to enjoy any of it. She was down at Los Angeles. She brought me food every Sunday, and every Sunday I didn't need it. I even told her. I told her. I said, I'm giving the food to others. I said, what you need, Kathleen, is to get in this church and join this church and be faithful to this church. Because that was her answer. That was her answer. I had to give the truth to her. That was the answer for her. So, well, why should you join this church? Do you know one better? Join it. But if you don't, join this one.
Do you know any church that will take you in when you're older? Or I don't like that term because we've got 98-year-old people here that are as young as they can be, like Sister Eva down there. When you get in your golden years, in the senior years, do you know a church that guarantees you that you'll not be homeless? Do you know a church that guarantees you that you'll never be without food? I say a church that does not minister to the necessities of its members. That's what ancient scripture says. You must minister to the necessities of the saints, and the church must take care first of the household of the faith. I say a church that calls itself a church and does not educate its youth, does not take in its older people, does not provide senior citizen homes, education, food, plants, all these acreage for the necessities of the needs in the time of desperation or famine, I say a church that doesn't do that is a fraud. That's a rough statement, but that's what I think of it. I think a church that has a pastor that stands up in fine suits, I've never bought a suit. I don't need them. I got a used shirt hanging out here. It's slick from how many times it's been ironed. Because I don't like to get them cleaned. I don't spend nothing, brother and sister. I'm too busy taking care of the babies. This thing is slick from being ironed so much and not cleaned. Well, don't matter to me. If you don't like it, you don't have to look at it. I'll put it this way. I won't come at your house if you don't want me. And you certainly don't have to come to my house if you don't want to be here. Always someone giving little suggestions. I think you should dress, you know, becoming a pastor. Now, I would rather dress becoming a whore than a pastor. Now, you see, that's an awfully hard word. Because there are no whores. They're just women who, out of necessities, have gotten themselves in a corner. But I'd just as soon dress as a street woman, are dressed like the worst vagabond and drunk that you call the derelicts, and I call them some of the most sensitive souls. I would rather dress like them than those high-fluting jippers. So don't tell me that I should look like so-and-so. One sister told me some days ago I should look like Dr. So-and-so. He dresses so nice, and we want to have pride in you. Well, then you go have pride in him. Because if you don't take pride in the fact that I've adopted babies and given you homes and taken you in and nursed you back to health, and I've even given you enemas, people sitting in this room, I've gone in with my hands and broke up your impaction and bathed your wounds and brought you back to health. If you don't have pride in that, but you rather have pride in my suit or my car, you go to and stay put. I've given you something. You've got land. You've got a way of escape in the terrible days that we live. You've got an alternative for every problem. You've got food up to the rafters in one building for the day of famine ahead. And these jacklegs, they take your money, and all you see is a big fine Cadillac, and they tell you some stupid lie, and some people are ignorant enough to believe it. They say Jesus is coming soon. Well, why don't you tell them the next time they get ready to get next year's Cadillac, why do you need it? Jesus is coming soon. Neither do I expect you to have to worship the way we do. Don't feel uncomfortable if you don't worship the way we do. Each one, some of the deepest people in the world, are quiet till they get a hold of this thing. Then usually even people like Professor Roller down here or Dr. Tropp, they start to jumping. I don't know what makes them jump, but something gets a hold of them. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not all made out of the same mold, you see. Fortunately. Yes, my dear heart.
Now, I think I, what is it, did I hear healing? Go ahead, let's hear it. Now, I said, don't, please learn some elementary lessons. If I allow people to stand on this floor and ask questions about their healing, I must allow 1,500 people to do so today. The way I work is that when the time of revelation comes to me, or last night, I had mass healings. I went from every part of the body, and I had dozens and dozens of healings. At the end, there was meditation for every part, every organ, every part, the eyes, the ears, everything. And those times come, and when they do, you'll get in it and receive it if you have faith and understand the teachings and know how to focus and direct your meditations towards me and think along the lines of my teachings. But if I allow people to get up here now and tell me about their healings, I'll be guilty of respect to persons, and I thus far have not been guilty. Yes, now what was the question? Peace.
I'd like to know if I could be healed. I've been suffering my head all week. Oh. This is my first time being here.
Well, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. That's understandable. I don't think you just heard what I said, though, somehow. Sorry. You probably are caught up with your own pain, and that's miserable. If you come down at the end, we will certainly do what we can towards that. Your first time, we will make an oversight. We'll just overlook this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. But yes, you can get healed. You can get healed of anything. You can get healed of anything. Just sitting there now. Just thinking on me now. Just thinking on the Christ in me. The Christ in you and the Christ in me can agree, and we can lift you out of the pain that's in your head right now.
I'm Sarah Burden, and I'm very, very sad now because I'll be leaving the People Temple, going back to Las Vegas, Nevada to stay. And I would like to know, will there be someone, somehow, to keep in contact with me so I can stay with the most beautiful, wonderful people that I've ever met in my life?
Well, I'm certainly, if you give your address, there's a good lady that writes beautiful letters, sitting up, Mary Black. If you'll take her, we'll certainly be glad to. And who knows, we might even get a casino to help raise the people. I don't anticipate doing that, but if I could deliver people from poverty and squalor, I'd get a casino because somebody's going to do it.
So I have about between 18 and 20 people has already been contacting you through me.
Beautiful.
Because I was there, and they'll call me 2, 3 o'clock in the mornings while I was there. So.
If indeed you can, you always know that our homes are free to you. Get around the personal presence as much as possible. There's an energy level. It's a fact of science that the closer you are to me, at times it is an uplift to the body, the health, and it's a certain source of prosperity. But you're certain, you can just rest assured that we will not forget you, and you just give her your name, and we will certainly be in communications with you.
Very, very much, Father.
Thank you. My recommendation in these days is not to move anywhere, but to stay with us. But when there are necessities that seem to pull upon you, one has to be persuaded in their own mind as to where they must go and what they must do. and where their responsibilities are. But we certainly will be in contact with you. Yes, next.
I'm Lucille Ponder, and I am from Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I have wrote you for different things. And I don't want to make a god of anything. And I love this family. Mm-hmm. And I love to come when I can to be in the meeting. And right now, I had a wreck. Was in a wreck. A car pushed me off the highway, mm-hmm. and wrecked my car. Mm-hmm. And I have got an attorney, but he don't think he gonna do anything for me to get our car back. And we really need it, me and my husband.
Now you're in the field of me doing something personally for you. I have an attorney here who's been healed of cancer, Jewish attorney who was dying of cancer in the stomach. They're there. I'm sure he'll consult with you at the end of the service. They're busy, devoted, loyal workers. You said you didn't want to make a god of anything. Let me tell you, you don't make God. God makes himself.
Yeah.
But indeed, sometimes it's good if we will allow God to be God.
Yes.
Things can happen for us in a better way.
Yes.
But there was a little phrase there that I wanted to just lovingly reflect on, that you better make God of that which is God.
That's right. Thank you.
Now, be sure to see the attorney. Someone get her. Even now, she can be taken to the attorney. And we'll see what can be done for you. And I'll tell you all these provisions at the end of the meeting. You can ask for attorneys or counselors, teachers, nurses, medical people. This is the proper procedure to follow. Back there at the end of the row. Let no one else stand, please.
Oh, Father, my name is Marilyn Miller, and I'm from L.A. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, is there such things as demons? Because the reason why I ask you this is because one night something was shaking my dresser and then my curtains. And I was talking to a sister the other day, and she was telling me that there is such thing as demons. And I want to ask you, because I'm not for sure, but I know I've had strange things to happen.
The lowest plane of development is human. So the only kind of devil you'll ever see is a human one. The state of consciousness. Jesus looked at Peter on one time, said, Cephas, a rock, I'm going to build a church on you, and I'm going to give you the power to remit sins and or to retain them. Gave him the power to be a living Christ. On another occasion, he turned to Satan and said, get thee behind me, what?
Satan.
No, there are no demons. It might have been someone who, in the interim world, there are those who they're frustrated to make contact sometimes. That happens on rare occasions. And they do not mean to harm you. Nothing invisible will harm you. Nothing. It's just a means. They may have been in that home and suffered distress, and they're kind of earthbound. But there is nothing in the invisible world that will harm you. Only humans. That's the ones you got to watch.
Father, you know, that's all that I wanted to know, because before I came to the temple here, well, you know, I was taught this, and I just happened to be having a conversation, so I don't know.
We were taught a lot of things, weren't we, darling?
Yeah, that's right, but I'm glad that I found the truth.
Thank you. That's sweet of you to ask. There.
My name is Lucy Crenshaw, and mm-hmm. my question is a sort of, I would say, compound.
because it's two-part.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and it's also 9 parts of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the broadcast each day at 5:30 as I get ready to go to work, and one I enjoyed particularly was the not being shackled by materialism.
Yeah.
So now here's where it's compound. In the fruits of the Spirit, is there any one of those fruits that pertains to not being shackled by materialism, but even touches on it? One must have these fruits, I understand, and it's 9 of them.
Yes.
You know them. We start off with love, which is the greatest one.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any one that touches on not being shackled by materialism? Because that's very important.
If you get the first one, you will be unshackled. You can't have love and be materialistic. Because in order to be loving, you have to be free of the worship of things. So you wouldn't even get to first base with materialism. Anyone who's materialistic won't even get the first fruit of the Spirit. Because love demands that you put people before others before yourself, and others before things. So most folks are still working on 1, so don't feel discouraged.
Thank you.
The Ethel, yes. This is a sister who's been such a delight. A few weeks ago, revelation came to me that she was losing her home, and how much? It was $400 or something.
Right.
I raised it, got it for her, give it to her in cash, so that she could save her home. And since then, she has taken that, the magnificent obsession of it, and she's helped so many others here. And I really salute you, because I've saved so many people's homes who've never even said thank you. And I really appreciate it, Lee Ethel.
I just want to ask him, where would he find any church would save your home when you're losing it, when you're out doing your own thing? If I had been out doing my own thing and losing my home, I wouldn't have had a home today. And if I was him, I would think about this, because this is a beautiful place to be. And you don't find no other place that will do that. I do know.
I think it's a matter of semantics. A lot of people, when they say doing their own thing, they mean being true to their highest.
Yeah.
But I think it's become garbled to when someone says doing their own thing, it means just the opposite. But he meant doing your own thing in the terms of following your conscience, I think. But I don't like the term. That's why I differed, not with his intention of heart, but with the meaning of it. Because when most people say do your own thing, just like we've had a few that we know that went out, they wanted to kidnap some children, they wanted to set up Michelle Touche to have the Cobb children in a certain place so they could be kidnapped, or John Bedell, who called our choir director and wanted him to come out with them to do their own thing. Well, that means self-indulgence and drugs and all this kind of foolishness. That kind of own thing I don't want any part of. I don't want any part of it. But when the brother was saying do your own thing, he meant follow your heart, I'm sure, follow your conscience, do the service to the highest that's within you. But I think the word's been badly abused. And I agree with you, Lee Ethel, that it's a look for another word. Because the people that use that word, we've had it thrown in our face so many times, and it's always thrown, with the exception of the question here, it was thrown in a direction of, well, I'm going to be my selfish self. I'm going to be my own selfish self. And you can't do that. If you do, you're going to get a lot of trouble. You must be willing to pay the price. Just know whatever door you're walking in, that you're going to pay the price for it. So I see people who are selfish and they do real well. Now, do they? Marilyn Monroe was a contemptuous, temperamental, harsh person who tore everyone down that she worked with. And if you read Miller's book about her, she was impossible to get along with. And she couldn't stand herself any more than 35 years. She killed herself.
She had the body beautiful. She was Miss Sex Pot America. But it did not give her happiness. She had to destroy herself. Because when you worship self, you can't get enough people to worship self with you. You can't get enough people to love yourself. And you can't fulfill yourself. And finally, you end up killing yourself from overwork, trying to get ahead. You die of a heart attack. Or like Miss Ellis, you accumulate all kinds of money only to let somebody take it that wouldn't even spit on you. You don't get ahead. Believe me, they don't. Selfish people are unhappy. You look at their face, they look unhappy. I don't care how much money they have, they look unhappy. You don't have to be a prophet to know it. Just look at their face and you'll see emptiness. Yes. Back to the back. I think Moses had something. He said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy all the pleasures of being the kingly son or to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter even for a season. That's what Moses said. And that's the way with me. I suffer so much that I wouldn't even want to talk about it. If I thought about it, it would be overwhelming. Come in here with burdens, crises, people heap all kinds of things on me. And I can't even get people to follow little simple instructions. But I would still rather suffer affliction with the children of promise, with the children of principle, with the children of God, than to enjoy all of Babylon America. I don't want anything that Mr. Nixon's America has. I'd rather go this way, even if I had to die on a scaffold, or die being lynched on a tree, or to be crucified. I would rather go this way than to enjoy the pleasures of sin-sick, capitalist America. Why? Because I meet the finest. I meet the rectums also of the universe. Some dear old sister one time was trying to impress her preacher and impress her guest she had in the church. She wanted to speak in fine language, and I don't remember all of it, but she said she was trying to impress so much and she knew some fine vocabulary. And she said, you see that man with the... I better not do it. Well, I will do it. She said, see that man urinating down the aisle holding his testicles in his hand? He is the most constipated man. He is the rectum of the church and the most constipated man in the community. Testicles meant spectacles. She got them a little mixed up. Spectacles meant testicles, and rectum meant rector, and constipated meant the most consecrated. So she just got her words just a little mixed up. And I meet so many rectums of the church, I'm telling you. And urinating meant circulating. She was just trying to impress someone. There are a whole lot of folk trying to impress people, and they've got about as much empty words as that. That's what she said. That was an actual fact. I know the woman that was there. She said, see that man urinating down the aisle, holding his testicles in his hands. He's the rectum of the church and the most constipated man in the community. So even though I meet the rectums of the church, I have met the heart of hearts. I've met people in here that if they aren't saints, they soon will be. Angels, good people. And I'd rather walk with them all life long than to enjoy all the treasures of Egypt or the treasures of Babylon, America. Oh no, as for me and my house, I will serve God, socialism. I will serve it.
Father, since I met you, the very first time I met you, I realized who you were. But as time went along, I was a little confused about some things. Mm-hmm. But you gave me the answer yourself. Mm-hmm. But now that I am serving you, it is very hard for me to call on Jesus. For I no longer call on Jesus, but I call on your name.
You're to call on no. You're to call on no one after the flesh. You're to know this principle bearer.
Yes.
Said no man after the flesh, not even Jesus. You're to see the Christ. Wherever Christ is highest, that's who you think upon. If it is your puppy dog, you think on your puppy dog. But you understand what I'm saying? Wherever you see the most of Christ, that's the thing you better think on. The thing that you need to trigger. If you see more of it in you, then you'd be a narcissist. You'd be self-lover. So anyone said, I see the God in me all the time. Well, I doubt that. I doubt that. Everyone has to see God in someone else. So naturally, you watch and follow God and use the name of God that is the highest manifestation to you.
Yes.
Paul said, no man after the flesh, and particularly one that's dead. Jesus is gone 2,000 years. He said, these things shall you do and greater because I go to the Father. He said, the time will come when you'll speak in the Father's name. You'll speak directly to the Father. So that's the promise to you. But do not be anxious to cast your treasures before swine.
No, Father, that's what I mean is, I
don't watch me now, watch me. I said a strong statement there.
Yes. I don't want to give praises to someone that is dead. This is what I'm saying. Only to the God that I see that walk here on earth now in a body. This is my satisfaction now.
You do whatever works for you, honey. You do.
That's what I wanted to know, Father, because I don't want to dwell on something that has been dead 2,000 years
but
ago.
You remember, as I said one time, let me do the preaching. You've got me out here on the ninth plane now, and a lot of folk here are all shook up. They're wondering where we've laid Jesus now. They're looking around in their pocketbook to see what's happened to Jesus. It's sweet of you, and I appreciate your devotion. But in one's testimony, you can reveal too much. And one way you can turn people away from life, if you're not careful, is to hold up something in their face and flaunt it. You want to be very careful about that. I have an energy field that has kept no one from dying in People's Temple since 1959 that has been kept close to me, except one that was led away and was meant to get out of this plane anyway. No one. Now, I have had no one that has had a stroke in this temple that has not been completely corrected after they had the stroke while I was on the scene. Now, we want people to enjoy that, but if you come at them too strong, you'll turn them away. As the brother said up there, give me time. You can give people too much. I wish it seems the way is so plain to us that though a person be a fool, he need not err therein. But if you're not very careful, you can throw too much at people and it'll undo them. Shake them up. But I say to you unequivocally, I'd have to say it because I always speak the truth. You use what's working for you. Oh, you don't agree with that?
Yeah.
If somebody had been talking to anybody, Jesus, Moses, or Buddha, or whatever, if they've been talking to him for 17, 18 weeks and they haven't got an answer, I'd talk to somebody else. Very well. I'll take a couple of more questions. We need to know where we're in consciousness right now. All right, yes. But make it a question, not a testimony.
Thorsten.
Yeah, I know you are, but I'm there's one coming that ain't.
The other night I was sleeping. And I wasn't dreaming. I was just sleeping, did a sound sleep. And you called me so loud. You said, Louise. So why did you wake me?
You said I called you. If I called you,
it'll make sense. There are dreams and then there is reality. When I call you, it means that there'll be a fire or a tragedy or an accident, or maybe there'll be a relief of distress, but I don't call unless I got a reason. And that's meaningful. No way to take away from the meaningfulness of to you, because you're a very honest and beautiful person. Peace. Next. Thank you. In other words, what I'm trying to say, if I call you, you know very well why I'm calling you. Like a young girl that sang here, when I called, it meant get up, and the fire was raging. And I called the other day, and someone was being strangled to death. One little child was being strangled to death in here. You were being strangled. You haven't talked to me, but somebody called on the telephone, even though I was in Los Angeles, so I was on the bus. But somebody called and got the person off your neck. There wasn't anybody on the other end of the line. But that was Jim Jones on the line. Talking about the Smith child. Smith young man. That's what I'm talking about. When I call, you know.
I'm glad to say I met Pastor John but 3 years ago. Now I'm not going to testify. Mm-hmm. I work long hours, and when I plead to him to bring me down from the long hours, in which he did. And I find out what it was all about. I thought I understood him, but I didn't. Every morning I had wished to listen to the 5:30 program, but I always would sleep through it. I could never. And every morning for 2 months, right before 5:30, I guess his spirit wakes me up, and yeah, I listen to him.
Sweet.
Is preaching and teaching. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that teaching better than I do the healing, for one reason. So many times he's talking, I don't understand him. I go along with it. I would like to, but sometime I can lay down and listen to him teaching. The other morning I listen to him counseling on the doctors and the medical signs. Oh, I see, what a great man, Jim Jones, the greatest man I ever heard. Thank you.
That wasn't a testimony, I would just talk, honey. You're sweet. Now, Aretha backs her life up with a lot of service to others. I healed her some years ago when her heart was completely decomposed. Not just heart failure, but it was completely decomposed, an invalid. Then she was restored when I called her out, discerned her thoughts and needs. She was restored so that she could not only work, but also get a new business. She was working two shifts. All these years, it's beautiful to look at her. She's someone to feast upon, because she's an example of the miracle of miracles. I'm talking about heart atrophy, where the muscles, the heart, had just simply worn out. And now she'd be able to have a business plus a job. Yes, next over here, then we'll move over to Sister Shake Snyder. No one else, then stand. Occasionally we do this, and it's very good to know where the consciousness of the people is, for you to know where the consciousness of the people is.
Well, I really do have a question. Some time ago, you asked me, did I have a house being worked on, in which we did. And this house has been in three people's hands for sale. They were going to buy it, but they didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. So now we got it in the hands of another man, and he said he wants the house, and I would like to know, is he going to buy the house?
If I answer you, I'll have to answer everyone else in the room. I'll have to answer every question in this room. You see, that's the point of not having people stand with questions. If you want the house disposed of, the procedure to follow would be to talk to legal counselors here, and then after you've done all that you can do, you will get the house free from you if you want it free.
I understand the question about everybody wants you to answer the same question, so I don't feel bad over it. Thank you very much.
Well, that's all right. I don't think you would, but you can see the dilemma I would be in. If I give you a revelation, I know what's going to happen to your house. I know, but if I answer that question publicly, I'll have to answer a lot of other people's. Because when you get in my face, the moment you do, then I get answers. Now, we've had services which I answered every question, where I told every person who came before me what was their problem. Just walk right by me. They did that in the temple not long ago over on Geary. But it isn't today.
Father, when we was on the trip, when we was in Philadelphia, The first two night in Philadelphia service, the first night, I saw a glow on your two shoulders. And I spoke to two of our members, and I tried to get them to see it. And the second night, it came back again, and it went from your shoulders. Every time you would do this, it went all the way down to the end of your hands. And I just tried awfully hard to get someone else to see it, but nobody could see it but me. And I wanted to ask you for it, and every time I would think about getting up, I said, maybe I was wrong. But the third night, I do know that it wasn't there. So I know it wasn't the light that was doing it. But I've tried to hold it back, but it keeps coming back and keep coming back. And it just haunts me, so I just thought I'd get up today and ask you what was the meaning of it.
It happened to you. It didn't happen to me. It happened to you.
Yes.
So it was meant for a sign to you of something you needed. Everyone in their level of consciousness needs something to further their soul or their psychic development. You needed to see this, evidently. And no one else saw it. They were not supposed to see it. I can explain it in the terms of energy, because when I anoint each picture and the oil and the records or the candles, an actual flow goes out that people, workers say that things will feel warm after I touch them. Sometimes very warm. Well, there's a life force naturally. I have to transmit a part of me to heal. And in Philadelphia, there were all kinds of healings. One woman was bent over like a bent nail, ossified. It was rare kind of things that seldom get healed in a wheelchair. And I think she was blind, wasn't she? And there were many miracles like that. One was dead. And all sorts of cancers and cripples. One fell down the steps. Well, I'm certain, and died down on these steel steps. So I'm sure that aura goes out from me. Vapor goes from me. They now show you that in the passing, scientists show you in the Soviet Union, that they can photograph the light force that goes from the body at the time of death. They photographed it thousands of times. Just as scientists also have weighed and found that our inner psyche, our soul, has an actual component of weight. It weighs a quarter of a pound, because they've weighed thousands of people just before they pass, and they would weigh 1/4 pound more than the immediate time of their passing. They reduce 1/4 of a pound. So it's indeed possible for you to have a keen vision. It doesn't mean that you're in a higher consciousness at all. Because those who follow me, and I'm sure you are one of them, who are in the highest consciousness, follow me because of my works. Not because I have a light, or I have a healing, or I can do miracles, or I can walk on water, which has been seen by many. On one occasion, when we took our vacation a year ago in Mexico, as we always take our vacation together, or once when I held up when we were adopting babies and the sun was blocking the pictures, and I said, I want something to go over the sun, the cloud appeared over the sun. People should not follow me for those reasons, because that would be an inherent talent. My sister Nancy sings beautifully, but she could be a perfect ass and still sing. You understand what I'm saying? I know a lawyer in this town. He's a brilliant lawyer, but don't trust him. He's a snake in the grass. Of course, in all due respect to the lawyers I've converted, there's nothing more parasitical than lawyers. They're the parasites of America. They're a profession that is built to prey on other people's sufferings. In a perfect society, as it should be in the day of Pentecost, where all were equal, you would need lawyers. Oh, don't bother about it. It's truth anyway. Lawyers, as a group, are always looking to find ways to bend the law or to circumvent the law. And unfortunately, where money talks in our society, you better have a lawyer. I just dealt with a case behind stage. I said, I asked that to be taken care of 2 weeks ago. They've got a public defender. I wouldn't put a rattlesnake in the care of a public defender. Public defenders won't even take the time to come and see their clients. That's the advantage of this church. That's why I say to our brother, you need this church. Not because Jim Jones is a special person, but because he's got special things built into this church to take care of his people. And one day you're going to need them. And naturally we have to have certain requirements that we take care of church members first. But I wouldn't put a rattlesnake in the custody of a public defender. Because they don't care whether they give you any fair defense or not. Not at all. So you shouldn't follow me because you see a light. Or someone says, well, come over. One lady said to me, our pastor is so good looking. She was saying about one pastor. Not me. About some pastor. She said, he's so good looking. I thought, well, that's stupid woman. That is really stupid. Follow someone because they're good looking? Fact of the matter, I think good looks is a curse. Because things come easier for good-looking people, and thus they don't have to develop their inner self unless they have a tremendous God consciousness to be able to see through people. I say it's a curse to be born good-looking. If you're ugly and someone likes you, you know they like you for something inside you. But if you were suave and you dress well and you got a diamond on your finger and you got whatever the perfect symmetry of the body is, you got all those things, you're going to get awful nervous because after a while, everything wilts, even that thing that you think is so important. Everything diminishes. But the soul, if somebody's seen your soul, and I love a black emphasis on soul, they'll say. If you've got soul, you can be 88 and still keep that soul. You never lose it if you develop soul. But if you're developing the outward appearance, you fade. And then they'll dump you. You married somebody that looked at your outward appearance, I heard some fellas say the other day, well, I married her because she's the most beautiful woman. I thought, lady, look out. Look out, because you've had it. Because when the sagging 40s come, she's finished. That's why someone was saying the other day, someone said, this young woman is going to marry a man 30 years older than her. What's the matter with her? I said, she's smart. I didn't get any amens, but that shows how you don't know where it's at. Because he has learned some things. He's learned that he isn't as, or he could. There's old fools. And if he's an old fool, there's nothing so old and nothing so bad as an old fool. There's no fool like an old fool. But if he has learned anything, she'll at least have what most women want as a father figure, and she'll have protection. But if she gets some of these young things that think they're really hot stuff, woman passed, Sister Catherine Morris. I told her she better get away from the man that she was with. Suave, always well-dressed. He was always beating on her. He beat on her last week and killed her. He killed her. She's gone now. Because she said, I don't think I can get away from him. I said, well, I love you. She said, let me go on. And I did. She got her wish. She couldn't get away from him. There's some things in some women, they feel masochistic, that they deserve to be beat on. I don't know what it is. They want someone to just do dirt to them almost. But she's now gone, and she got her reward. She was translated to another place. Some character he is. He knew him no sooner than she was gone. He was looking through the insurance papers to see how much money he could get. Some character. But she don't have to put up with him anymore. So don't make fun of someone. You say, oh, she's got an old man. Yeah, and she's probably got a nicer man than you've got. You say, what are you trying to justify? You got a young woman? No, my wife is 5 years my senior. And she's as beautiful a woman and as compassionate a heart as you'd want. Age makes no difference whatsoever. But I'm just simply telling you. I'm telling you. And I don't think she looks 5 years my senior. But anyway, I know what's inside her. Beauty, quality, riches. Riches of soul and spirit. She's your mother, and you need to feel what she is. She's down in Los Angeles today. Works all week. Coordinator, an executive in charge of inspecting all these nursing homes that make her heart ache. She said they're just traps. They're taking them away from the small business person, and corporations are swallowing them up, and she's fighting this trend. She fights with that like a tiger to get these people out of the clutches of these big old nursing home corporations. But on Sunday, she'll always be here when I'm not here, or down in Los Angeles. What a beautiful mother you have.